Good morning, everyone. God bless you all. It's good to be here, and I want to, also echo Victor's excitement about the weekend. Weekend, the beginning of the week, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, I trust it was a good, even a great time. And this morning, I'd actually like to jump off of that, or jump, don't know the words to say, but continue on that thinking. Let's rise for prayer. Lord Jesus, you are a God that in whose presence is fullness of joy. And so I trust that as these things are on your heart, Lord Jesus, I trust joy is welling up. Lord, and I pray that that same joy would well up in all of our hearts this morning as we hear what you have to say from your word. Make it applicable, Lord Jesus. Make it clear. Lord, just be merciful to me as I try to speak and just direct my thoughts, direct my words. Jesus, give us all ears to hear. In your holy name, amen. You can be seated. Let's turn to Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged it in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there that thou hast is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talents from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. If you'll notice, there's one verse there that I cut off. And I cut that off, certainly not because it's not true, but I wanted to make this a positive, a joyful, not as much as a rebuke, as much as an encouragement to you young boys, young men, and also to the fathers. I do have a sermon specifically for you this morning. It is Father's Day. That's not necessarily why this subject came up. I just thought it seemed fitting that we talk about boys, young men, and the fathers too, after after the weekend we had. It was, I think, a great step towards unifying the brothers. And even for some of us that have no children or maybe have children that are already grown, it was great to be a part of what happened. And not only this past retreat, but also just, you know, looking ahead into the near future, I just have an appeal. It's not as much a sermon. Yes, it is a sermon as much as an appeal. At the retreat, I counted 17 boys to young men, anywhere from, I guess what, 8 was the cutoff? I don't know if there's anybody below 8 there. 8 to, I guess, either Stanley or Caleb, whatever their ages would be. That was kind of the top end. And they are, those 17, going to be a big part of our church in the next, you know, 5-10 years. So in many ways, maybe I'm speaking just a bit early. I don't want to put too much pressure on these boys and young men. And yet at the same time, we just kind of going back into our recent history, we had, I'm guessing it was about 4 years where we had virtually no young men, not a lot of youth at all, but especially young men. And that's just starting to change. And amen, that's a wonderful thing. So that goes through my mind as I'm thinking about this. I mean, there are going to be challenges for someone like me preaching, being a single brother, being with no children. And so I also don't know if it's going to be wisdom to direct the entire message to just the boys. Some of it may be over your head. I don't know. So I'll really speak to the boys and the young men and also the fathers, which I can't speak to the young boys and about the young boys without speaking to the fathers. And I also want to try to speak as someone that's not an authority on the subject, but someone who has, you know, seen many things, seen in my own life, seeing positive and negative things in, you know, the things that I've seen over the last 18 years since being here. So here we go. Just pray for me that I can speak as of the oracles of God as commanded in 1 Peter. If I can go back in time, I counted, and I probably missed some, but I counted about 20 young men who were at Ephrata 15 years ago, who have, to a greater or lesser degree, turned away from the narrow road. I'm not talking about young men that have gone to a sister church. I'm not choosing to, you know, to talk about that and, you know, maybe the thoughts that were going through their minds, but I'm talking about people that were shown the way and for the most part walked away from it. Some to maybe a more mainstream church that would really struggle with where we are as a congregation. And some would not even profess Christianity at all. Many of these were competent, gifted young men. Many of them with a good work ethic, excellent Bible knowledge. Some of these would have gone to CBI. If you're familiar with CBI, some of your newcomers, it was a three-week, it was a Bible school. If you could imagine Bible school on steroids, that's what CBI was. They were just intense training in the Word, much preaching, and some of these young men would have been on that. They would have, and still would have, a greater knowledge of the Scriptures than I would. These are the young men that were given the 5 talents. So, when the last of these young men left our congregation, we had a hole that needed filling. And a hole in the church worldwide, the church at large. So how does it affect us? And I don't like to be pessimistic here, but just talking about some of the realities of what we experienced the last year, let me give just some practical examples. You know, Haiti. It would have been so nice to have these young men go for a Haiti, either for maybe just a 2-week trip, a weekend, or maybe an extended term. How much of a blessing they would have been able to pour out, whether it be at ILEG, whether it be, who knows where, all the places that could have, could have used someone like some of these young men. It's, some of you realize and have experienced how difficult it is, and it's gotten easier, but just even to put a Sunday morning service together. If you ever had, and some of these men maybe can share this feeling of we're just a little bit shorthanded. And I think that's been good for us to maybe be stretched, our middle-aged men, in ways that we haven't. And yet we sense the hole there. It's been also a struggle to establish a mission, either local or foreign, without young men sent out by the church to labor and to save souls, to establish churches. So what if, and again, I don't mean to be, pessimistic or just mourning, what's happened, but what if we had these 20 young men with us serving the Lord today? And so you boys and young men, this is where you come in. And that's the excitement that I want to share with you all. And again, you're very young. I'm not trying to ask you to save the world tomorrow. But I want to talk to you and also the fathers about the opportunity of a lifetime that you have to be a part of the kingdom of God and to use the talents that you have been given and your fathers have given you to make a difference. God is waiting, and Ephrata Christian Fellowship is also waiting. The title of my sermon, To those with many talents. And it may not be 5 talents. Some of you, there's a variation there. But you've been given a lot. And I want to try to say that not as a rebuke, but as an encouragement. I'm encouraged by some of the things that I am seeing. But I just want to make an appeal to just continue on all the more. My first question is, what does it mean to be a godly young man? If we could just turn to 1 Corinthians 13:11, just as a backdrop here. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, Paul doesn't give a lot of detail here about what those childish things are and what the things of a man are. We'll talk about that. But here, at least we see the principle. As you grow up, becoming no more a child but a man, embrace manly things. Put away things of a child. Things that when you were a child, they're not bad. But it's unfitting for a man to be toying around with these things that maybe a couple of years ago were fine. Putting away childish things is a big part of it. Proverbs 8. What does it mean to be a young man? Wisdom. Proverbs 8:1-5. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in of the doors, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. I get the impression, and you can see it, especially for these first four, eight chapters of Proverbs, that he's talking especially to the young men. I believe it is 11. It's at least 11 times in these first eight chapters that we hear the words, my son, coming from the writer of Proverbs. And we also have some specifics I won't go to in much depth now, but certainly some of these things the writer of Proverbs is talking to the young men and addressing traps that the young man can fall into. The adulterous woman is probably the one that comes to my mind. But also, if we go through the entire book of Proverbs, it's for, especially, it's for all of us, but it's especially for young men. So young men, I just encourage you, among all the other things in the scripture, just bury yourself in Proverbs. Wish I had done it more in my youth, but it has a lot for you. And it means choosing to follow. What does it mean to be a young man? It means choosing to follow the Lord and being born again. I'm already blessed by seeing that from some of you. Some of you, maybe God hasn't called yet, but if you sense God's calling, I'd say today is the day of salvation. It's something that, well, like it says in the scripture, today is the day of salvation. If I can go back to this hymn, it was our song of the month last month. Lord, in the fullness of my might, if you want to turn to it, you can. Lord, in the fullness of my might, I would for thee be strong. While runneth o'er each dear delight, to thee should soar my song. I would not give the world my heart and then profess thy love. I would not feel my strength depart and then thy service prove. I would not with swift winged zeal on the world's errands go and labor up the heavenly hill with weary feet and slow. Oh, not for thee my weak desires, my poor baser part. Oh, not for thee my fading fires, the ashes of my heart. Oh, choose me in my golden time, young men, in my dear joys have part, for thee the glory of my prime. Do we know if we use the words prime? What does that mean? It means your best time. It means the time where you have the most energy, when you have the most zeal, when you have the most time even. And I think that's for young men. Young ladies too. And again, it's for all of us. But I think, and you can see the subject here, John D. has these hymns in grouped according to subject, and here it's youth. So this is a hymn for youth. For thee, the glory of my prime, the fullness of my heart. And in a day and age where so many young people are finding so many other things to do with their time, you have an opportunity to shine and to stand out and to make a difference that people my age can't make. You may ask, when does a boy become a man? I'm not here to give an age. I will say it's something maybe to look at. Of course it's something to look at. It's the life of Jesus. Jesus, I believe, was 12 when he was at the temple, answering questions that came from men much older than he was. And they were amazed at, you know, the time that Jesus put in knowing the scriptures and being able to discuss them with men. That's a challenge. That is a high standard. I don't want to try to raise expectations too high. But we do see, at least we can see that example of a young man in Jesus who is set on his Father's will, even in his younger years. Again, what does it mean to be a young man? We talked about daring to be a Daniel. But there's one man in, besides Jesus in the New Testament that comes to my mind when I think of a young man serving the Lord in the fullness of his might. Any of you boys want to take a guess on who that young man might be? Two books were written to him by Paul. Any thoughts? Somebody knows, I think, but they're just a little bit shy. Stephen? No, it wouldn't have been Stephen. Oh, David. Very good. Thank you, Timothy. Thank you, David. I should have been paying a little bit more attention to my right side there. Thank you, David. That is exactly right. Timothy. How about daring to be a Timothy? So what do we see in Timothy? We see that Paul describes how Tim had a godly heritage. He had, even though we don't hear much about the men in his life, and this is probably a good for maybe some of the fatherless here, Tim had a godly mother, Eunice, and a godly grandmother, Lois. So Timothy may not have had a father that taught him in the faith. I don't even know if his father was converted. He was a Greek. I don't know if the scripture says or not, but there's no mention, or at least not much mention, of the men in Timothy's life. But Timothy had a godly heritage. He had enough to go on with his mother and his grandmother. And you have a foundation in the faith as a young man. How old do you think Timothy was when he started? And I don't know the answer for this. I read a little bit of, I heard some different opinions here. But how old do you think he was when he started on his missionary journeys? Anybody want to take a guess?
25.
That's close, very close to what I had seen. I'd seen some people going a little bit back and forth there. But some of the earliest ages that I had seen would have been about 21 when he accompanied Paul on his missionary journey. If we could just give some thought over what his life was like. I don't know what life was like for the typical 21-year-old here, or pardon me, in his day. You think of the typical 21-year-old here, maybe in our circles, and he's probably working, saving up maybe for a home, for a family, maybe spend some time with a ministry or something like that. It varies. But Timothy poured his life on a missionary journey through Asia Minor, through Turkey. And if we remember some of the difficult things that Paul endured, well, Timothy would have endured those same things. What does Paul have to say about him in Philippians chapter 2? I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, how that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Wow, that's a challenge. That's a challenge to me. That should be a challenge to all of us, men, women, young or old. And if we can look at what the books that Paul wrote to Timothy. 1 Timothy, let's go to 1 Timothy first. We might touch on a couple of points there. And just give some thought to what Timothy's responsibilities were. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So if we could try to imagine what life would have been like for Paul here. Paul had spent a lot of time building up the church at Ephesus. And we don't hear much about maybe some of the difficulties that they had. But evidently there were some. Especially if we look at, I'm assuming that Hymenaeus and Alexander were part of this church at Ephesus here at the end. And they were blaspheming. They were causing problems, evidently, in the Ephesian church. So what does Paul do? Paul felt like he needed to go into Macedonia. And he left Timothy there to really guide as a young man, to guide the church. And not only the guide, it's not as if he were guiding willing souls. I mean, I'm sure many of them were. But he also had to deal with people that were just causing problems. So that took a lot of courage, and it said a lot that Paul entrusted Timothy to do something like that. Because we see how maybe in a man how much potential he has for causing problems in a church. We see it. We've seen it. If you've been in experienced church life at any time, you've probably seen it maybe firsthand. And you see how difficult it can be for a man or maybe a couple of men like that to not to cause division, to cause bitterness, to drag people away from the congregation, maybe start something up themselves. I don't know. But Paul left that responsibility to Timothy to keep things under control, to guide the church, to keep it on the narrow road. That's no small responsibility. But that's what Paul gave Timothy. And we don't know exactly how young he was at this point. Probably wasn't 21. He's probably a good bit older. Maybe in his 30s. But he was young enough for people possibly to look down on him because of his age. If we look at 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Also, just the responsibility that he gives Timothy here. Till I come, this is the next verse. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Again, what a privilege that Timothy was getting, a responsibility to save himself, but also the privilege. It's not just a responsibility, it's the privilege of saving, if you could allow me to use that phrase, the Bible does, saving them that hear me through the gospel. But Timothy had his part. He had his responsibility. What a responsibility that was. What a worthy task compared to so many of the other things that we can spend our time with. 2 Timothy. Paul, you're familiar, most of you, that Paul was near death in the book of 2 Timothy. Who does Paul reach out to? Well, it was a time where many, Demas and others, seem to have abandoned him, looking just to love the world. Doesn't give any details. But Paul is abandoned by many. But he knew of someone that he could count on. Timothy. So what does Paul do here? Again, he commands Timothy to use the gift that God has given him. This is chapter 1, verse 6. To not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, to share in the suffering of the gospel, and to hold fast to the truth. In the second chapter of Timothy, Paul charges Timothy to be strong in the grace of Christ, to pass on the faith to other men, to endure hardness, to strive lawfully, and to labor or to study. Probably the better word here in our English language would be to labor, to be approved unto God, handling God's word well. He also admonishes Timothy to flee youthful lust and to pursue righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them, the call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He encourages Timothy to be gentle to all men and not to strive with them. Now, the Bible doesn't say much about what happened to Timothy. Everything is positive. And church history also gives us a very positive report of what happened to Timothy. I didn't read a lot here, but Timothy lived a long life. And he died for his faith. Does anybody know what happened in any of the circumstances, how he died for his faith? I didn't know either before reading. There was a parade that was for the false goddess Diana. I guess it would have been in Ephesus. I'm not sure. But Timothy was probably in his 80s. And in his old age, what does he do? He preaches to the people in that parade the gospel, telling them, I'm sure, to turn from their false gods and turn to the Lord. And the people killed him on the spot. And Timothy probably would have saw that coming. But yeah, Timothy was sold out. He had the fullness of God with him and expended his life just like many of the apostles did. We can sing, Dare to be a Daniel. Can we also sing, Dare to be a Timothy? I think we can. And as great as Daniel was, Timothy was someone that walked in our covenant. And we actually have a lot more practical things about Timothy's life that we can hold on to ourselves. Why does the church need young men? Why does the church need Timothys? I've touched on it a bit, but basically for time, I've got these three things. Time, energy, and skill to do the work of God. Time, young men, you have time that older men, even myself, simply don't have. Your evenings are generally free. You can spend time in diligent study of God's Word. You can read not only God's Word, but also church history, for example, works of the great saints, and have a better understanding of the faith of the fathers, of your fathers, so that you can become preachers, teachers. You can also learn to discern solid Christian doctrine. And also, the watered-down or false doctrine, which is today is all over the internet. It has a Christian veneer to it. And who knows, when I say the word veneer, what that is? Some of you boys, have you heard that term? Well, I'm going to explain it here. And we do it in construction all the time. Here's a concrete column. If I were to put, and I'm not a mason, if I were to put either stone or brick here, I would cover this entire column with brick. And so, what do we call it? We'd call it, you know, a brick pier, a brick column, or a stone column. And yet, in reality, that's still a concrete column. There is teaching out there. Again, it's all over the internet and other places as well, on the radio, that may have a Christian veneer to it, maybe Christian music that's got kind of a veneer, a shell, an outer shell. And yet what's inside? A lot of times it's just the world. It's just our own flesh. But sometimes it's hard to see. It's hard to be able to rip that veneer aside and to be able to see, oh, that's not a real stone pier. If you ever heard the term lick 'em, stick 'em stone, that's just this lick 'em, stick 'em stone. It's block or whatever the foundation is behind it. It's usually block. But to see an authentic block pillar, or pardon me, an authentic brick pillar or an authentic stone pillar, that's something else. And you can appreciate, if you see the difference, you can appreciate what you see. And if you see authentic Christianity, yes, you're in a good place. And that's the responsibility that you young men have in front of you as you continue on. And you know, who knows what type of veneer they'll be putting on, or who knows, maybe the better way to say it is, who knows what kind of foundation or shell is going to be, or is going to be behind that veneer. That core is probably going to change and get worse and worse as the days progress. So time. We've got time. We've got energy and strength. You don't tire as quickly as us older men. Physically, mentally, third world countries aren't going to wear you down as quickly. In the Middle East, you know, we have connections to a ministry in the Middle East. The ministering brothers there are fairly young. I don't know how old those two brothers are, but they're in their early 30s at the oldest, I guess. They're pouring out their hours in conversation with the refugees there. And they're also giving out food parcels. They're just expending themselves and also raising families, young families at the same time. And then skill. Just give some examples here. You're able to learn a language more quickly. You can also learn, and maybe some of you are already learning practical skills. I think of the sound system. Now, probably too young to run the sound system right now, but I think those days are coming when even some of the many practical things that you can be doing to help our congregation will not go unnoticed. Whether it be creating a website, being a mechanic, we're going to need song leaders, you know, at some point, and more of them. We need young men on the streets handing out tracts. It's been a little while since we've done that. Again, why else do we need young men? For courage to be a unique godly testimony and walk in the narrow road. In a time in which, as I mentioned before, most young men are not doing it. That encourages the church and gets the world's attention. 1 Timothy 4:12, I read this before, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Most of you all haven't experienced this. I think James went with me a few months ago, but it's charged me up at times to see when I go to Pottsville, anywhere from 10, maybe more, young men doing the work of God. Conservative, separate young men that are making a difference in the city of Pottsville. Whether it be passing out tracts to the people in town. Some of these are sharing difficult truths with extended conversations with either Muslims or maybe even professing Christians. That's got its own challenges. And also visiting the feeble and the lonely. There are connections there that are very real because of the labor that these young men have put in. Also, even just singing on the street corner, that's something that I think will start up again soon, and giving the city a taste of good, godly music. Finding young men that are doing that these days has become harder. It is becoming harder and harder. And also to have influence over other people. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It may mean being fathers yourself, or many of you it will, may mean being fathers for yourselves in the future. It means influencing those around you in the church. Even if it's just a matter of taking the direction that the elders want to take the church and saying, yes, amen, we are with you. A strong group of young men can really stabilize the direction of the church and even make it easier for families to join. I've seen that. I'm sure it was that way here years ago when I first came in. You know, the rebel was the exception. And the rule was godly men. At least that was the thing I saw. I've seen it at Harmony now. And, you know, they have their challenges. They have their struggles. And yet there is a strength there that comes from the young men supporting the direction of the church. A carnal, lukewarm group of young men will also cause the church to suffer. Who has read, and maybe this is a little bit more for the fathers, who has read The Long Road Home? Is that the title? Pablo Yoder? Who's read that book? Do you remember the Bats? The Bats were a group of people. It would have been Pablo Yoder. I don't remember if his brothers were part of it, but they very well could have been. But it was a group of young people that were rebels. That group caused a lot of problems for that group in Costa Rica. They probably had a lot of brothers' meetings. You had your older brothers saying, what do we do with these young men? Do we keep them in school? Do we put them to work? And I'm sure, you know, it just led to a lot of grief, and I'm sure it hurt the work there. But those young men got converted, virtually all of them, except for maybe a couple. That turned things around. And also, what happened to the Bats? The Bats became very spiritual young men, pastors, bishops, also missionaries in the areas that they were sent to, whether it be Nicaragua, maybe Costa Rica. So I mentioned that example to show you how things can switch when that group of young boys, young men, can go from following their own flesh and following the world to following the Lord. Now, the challenge is here. The devil is going to, I believe, pursue the young men first. Yes, he pursues everybody. There's a legion of demons, you know, waiting to take out anybody that they can. But I would guess that the devil is going to go after the young men first. And he's going to put all his resources there, or many of his resources there, because they are so important for the church. 10 years ago, I mentioned these 20 young people. He used a combination of different things. He used church problems, I think technology that caught many off guard, to pull our young boys away from the simple love of God and the simple love of the truth. Well, how will Satan try to go after you? I don't know. He's going to, I would guess, try to get you trapped in drugs and immorality, whether it be pornography, wicked things like that. A fast lifestyle that I know a young man that was here, that sat among us, that died in a motorcycle accident, going probably a good 60, 70 miles an hour. Not going out well at all. And a young man that was taught, you know, a lot of the same things that you're being taught. So he's going to try for that. And if that doesn't work, then he's probably going to tempt you, and if he hasn't already, with just the pleasures of this life. And some of these things aren't bad. Some of these things maybe even have a good place in our lives. I'll just list a few of them. Making money. It's not a sin to make money. Spending it on trucks. Okay, it depends. It's something you have to be careful with. Motorcycles. Yeah, okay. It certainly would not feel good about our youth taking hold of. Big nice houses. Hunting. Learning different things. For me, I You know, I myself, I'm not a young person, but I could spend hours learning. I've done somewhat over the wintertime learning drafting and enjoying it. Fine foods, restaurants, rich music, sports, movies, and entertainment, these are a part of the county that we're living in, and even a part of the plain culture that we're living in. Not all of these things are necessarily wrong, but if the devil can't trap you with the really hideous stuff, he'll try to get you with this, and at least distract you from the things that young men could be doing. And if these things don't work, then he'll try with something else. Rest assured, he'll try to get anything he can to tempt a young man to stray off the narrow road. So be ready. Okay. Maybe just a few things in my life. I'm 47. Still don't really think of myself as an older man. I still maybe naturally kind of think of myself as 25, which is certainly not the case. But looking back, what would I have done differently? What are some of the things that I did right? Some of these would be in the context of coming from another background, having not received a lot of the things that you have. One thing I think I did right was seeing the Christian life as a radical life that called for radical decisions. That was ingrained in my mind pretty early on as a Christian. I was born again when I was just a couple of months short of 18. I got involved in a campus ministry, and it was one that was kind of a little bit under the radar. Weren't necessarily, the ministers weren't trying to do what other ministries were doing and get officially sanctioned by the school, but they just kind of just went on campus and tried to make friends and influence people and get young men and young women sold out for eternal things. So I caught that, and even with the ditches that I got in, maybe taking things to extremes and not, or neglecting things that I shouldn't have neglected, that seed really, really helped. And going along with that, you young men, I encourage you, make church your life, practically speaking. I'm talking specifically about your time, about your friends, about just the everyday, day-to-day life thing. If you're blessed to, when you're 25, start a business and it starts to grow, hire church people. That's what Dean did. Dean, if you remember, and Mose did too with Denver Cold, you had a lot of people coming in from the church, and you had good groups there. You had good environments for brothers to have, because church was life, and it, those interconnections were so very real. What were the things I would have done differently? I mean, I got into some awful sin, 20 years ago. But even beyond that, I wouldn't have spent so much time entertaining myself, following professional sports, playing basketball, things that I didn't necessarily have a conviction against, things that weren't necessarily taught to me. But I lost a lot of time looking at these things that I don't do now. But instead, I should have used that time to be more diligent, whether it be classes, work, spiritual life. Yeah, those were one of the regrets. One of the regrets I'll list would be, I would have, if I had to do it over again, I would have listened to less the music. And again, it's not wrong to listen to music, but listen to less music and read more, especially the scriptures. Yeah, we have so much opportunity to, whether it be the iTunes or wherever, just your local Ken's Joy, that we can get all the music that we could possibly want. And yet, There are things that, especially for young men, are more important than things that we can get so much more edification of. Again, certainly not condemning music here, but I guess I'm just talking about perspective. I'm talking about priorities. And the last one I have is, I would have sought out more time with older men. And part of me actually wanted that. I may have taken some steps to do that. But what had happened in my culture, an advantage that you have and that I didn't, when I went to, I was 17 when I was converted. 2 months later, I was in school. And if you understand, when you go off to school, I'm not talking about going to community college for a couple of years and staying home, but when you go off to school, there's a shell. You're in a bubble. Yes, you maybe interact a little bit with your teachers, but for the most part, your peers are your world. People from 18 to 22 years old. That hurt me. I don't think I understand it. I was just thinking about this, but just so many of the situations where, you know, especially after coming here, you act a certain way and it's like, Mark, what were you thinking? And you may not have even seen it at the time. Well, young people, you have an opportunity to avoid that because of the example of your fathers and grandfathers. So that would have been obviously a regret too, to see that example of older men, godly men raising families, maybe your father, maybe other fathers. Now, to the fathers. And really, many of the things that I've been saying, it may have gone over some of the heads of many of the boys here, and that's fine. I'll have to expect that. But fathers, I trust this is not going over your heads. And I trust that you realize that God has this message, even in many of the things that I've said, for you. Because these boys are young, and they, you know, it is early. You know, these young men are not ready to, you know, for these grand exploits yet. You still have a tremendous amount of time with them. So, again, being a single man, maybe not having the authority to speak, and yet, again, God give me grace to speak as of the oracles of God as much as I can. First thing that I would say to you is, you have many, as you can sense already, you have many talents to give to your sons. So, be encouraged. If you feel like this Christian life is normal that you're handing to your sons, it is. It's something that should happen. And yet, there's so many cultures, so many churches that aren't doing the same thing. So be encouraged. Things like sound teaching and practice. Also a solid emphasis on work. Plus also the ability to connect with your sons. When I was, you know, between, let's say, 13 and 18, I mean, my peers, even though I lived at home, my peers were kind of my world. I didn't work with my dad. My peers, whether it be church peers or school peers, public school peers, would have been my world. And fathers, you have it different, and I see you taking advantage of that. I'm blessed. I'd say keep it up. Yeah, keep it up. And take advantage of the time that you have with your boys. Because I'm sure it'll go by quick. I'm sure it has gone by quick. If you are concerned about where your sons are, have faith that God has given you what you need to bring your boys along. You don't have a choice here. You have to have faith. Because the challenges are there that weren't here 15 years ago. If you don't do what it takes to get your boys on board to win their hearts, somebody else is going to win their hearts. It may be, people that are going the right way, but it probably won't. Because there are plenty of people in this county that would love to have your influence or influence on your sons. If your sons aren't doing so well, again, let me just step back as maybe just another brother here and not an authority figure, but I would make a plea to consider radical decisions if your sons aren't doing so well. And again, I think it's one of the things that really helped me to make the plunge into a different church culture, first moving to Texas and then here, because it was ingrained early on that Christianity is a radical life. It's easy to lose that here when, in a way, everything is kind of laid out for the next generation. You have the teaching, you have the homeschooling. You almost have to be careful that you lose the cross because how do I explain it? You probably understand what I'm talking about. The difficulties of pulling out of the world like many non-plain people do aren't quite there. You can find a good place for your boys to work. You can find, if let's say you struggle with homeschooling, you have a good school, a good church school for your boys to go to. And that's great. But it's easy just to lose sight of the fact that Christianity can require some radical decisions. There's a message Ken Miller preached that really was a blessing and a challenge. It's called The Cost of Discipleship. If you ever go to pilgrimfellowship.org, and if you listen to that, he doesn't have a lot of really specific interpretation or application, and neither do I. But he talks about the radical decisions that people have made and the radical decisions that Jesus calls us to make. What does that mean for you if you're struggling with your boys? I don't know. It may be a job change. It may be taking away their smartphone, and it may be dumping your smartphone. I don't know. Maybe just simply fasting and prayer that things would change. Maybe listening to brothers. But it is a time to get desperate. And the earlier that you can see this, the better. That special sacrifice, whatever it may be just the thing that brings your son along. The last one that I have specifically to the fathers is building strong community and doing whatever you can to pass that sense of community on to your boys. Again, I don't want to lift up a church beyond what I should, but at Harmony, they had two families there that moved in with struggling young people, and they were either turned away from their backsliding or became converted. I think some of that was after spending time with a godly established youth group. And from what I remember, my memory's a little vague, but in 2002 when I arrived, it was the same. That doesn't take the responsibility of the parents, but that does put the responsibility on us to look after not only our own young people, but also each other. It's a responsibility that I have. It's a responsibility that we all have. And some of that is, as our sons grow up, it's a little bit of a scary thing to see, but as your sons grow up, they're going to want to go different directions. And maybe they're just a reflection of the direction that you may be going. What does that mean? Hear the brothers. If you feel like your sons are maybe going in a direction that's a little bit different and you're wondering why, well, maybe the brotherhood may help you with that and help you to see your own faults. Your sons may be just following your example and being just as independent. I don't know. Again, I want to be careful here as I say these things. and not apply too much. And yet, God has a path for our young men, and they're needed desperately as, you know, the day is approached that Christ returns. We simply want a strong group of young men leading the way.
Amen.
God help us to do that. And whatever our roles would be, every single one of us, my role, you as fathers, mothers, big sisters, you name it, every person in the church. Let's just be in prayer over what we can do to make sure that generation comes and strengthens us and leads us as a church on the narrow road. Thank you. Hope this message will be a message that stirs up conversation and inspires vision in all of you.
Well, thank you, Brother Mark, for those words of encouragement and just the commentary on the reality of life and the importance that our young boys are to us as fathers, to us as a church, and how critical the young people are for our future. Everyone that is part of a church, young or old, has an impact on the church. It's not just the young people, but the young people have energy, and they're the ones that are the future leaders, the ones that will eventually set the direction within the church. Thank you, Brother Mark, for that. My heart beats with your heart on that, for that burden to have young men with talent that are willing to sell themselves out to a radical, separated Christian faith. I remember as a young man praying for one of my friends. He was a talented young man, talented musically. He was gifted verbally. Just an all-around, all-American young man. But he did not choose a radical Christian life. He was a Christian. He professed. But I feel like I haven't talked to him probably much for the last 5-10 years. So I'm not sure exactly where he's at. But I felt like he shortchanged his Christian life. There was so much more potential there that he would have had. And when I see a young man, you know, early 20s, late teens, early 20s, you know, wanting to serve God with his whole heart, I am encouraged. I am blessed by that. Does anyone have any other comments or on testimony about the message? Brother Mose.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a hearty amen. Also, the practical interwoven with practical things that came through a clear theology. And an example that we have known over these years, we've known you, Brother Mark, and thank you for that. And I know it's a truth. I could echo a similar testimony from my own years through those times seeking real Christianity, radical Christianity that is separated from the pleasures and foolishness of this world. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Anyone else? Oh, Brother Nathan.
I just want to say amen to that message. I really appreciate it. I found it very challenging. And I hope that the young men here can get that vision, especially as they get a little older, and really take that to heart. We do need it. I say amen to that. I'm thankful that God gave me some of that vision as a young man, and it's my heart desire that for each one here. One thing that Brother Mark touched on a little bit, didn't elaborate on much, but I see as a significant distraction from going the right way is the area of music, and especially contemporary Christian music that leads to more, that it just tends to take someone away from God. Thinking back over some of those young men that Brother Mark's referring to, I believe that kind of music was a significant influence that took them away from the straight and narrow way. And to some of them, even, like you said, even to totally forsaking even a profession of Christianity, it didn't start with out-and-out evil music, but one step led to another, and it became their life, and it took them the wrong way. So that's one thing I just want to warn us all about. Be careful what kind of music you listen to. We're going to listen to music, and there's good godly music, but there's so much that's compromised and today that we need to be on guard against. So, amen. May God grant us as fathers a vision to raise young men like this.
Yes, amen, brother. Anyone else? Brother Ephraim?
Yeah. Two things. I wanted to thank Brother Victor for his enthusiastic and accurate overflow of our 2 days up there in Pine Creek. That was good. I haven't yet figured out which of those three kept me from getting up, but appreciated a brother just giving a good word for it. The more I think back and remember it, the more I realize, wow, that really was a good time, and trust that good memories were made and good heart connections strengthened and all that. And wanted to thank Brother Mark for his sharing. Just a lot of things that I could touch on. Appreciated the word given for diligence in good reading. I was thinking about the word muse and amuse, how they're so opposite from each other. The scriptures in Psalms, David knew how to muse. He was a muser. In Psalms 39:3, he says, "My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue." And 143:5, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands." And I think one of the things that can strengthen young men and all of us is if we discipline our minds into musing.
Mm-hmm.
And considering things and rolling them around and building conviction in that way is something that's solid and deep and lasting, rather than allowing ourselves so easily just to be amused, where we open up our minds and allow someone or something to just pipeline into our brain and just accept whatever. There's plenty of voices, plenty of things out there that will be very happy to pump into our minds whatever they want, but a mark of manhood, of godly manhood, is to draw those lines of what we allow into our mind and what we don't, and then to bring in that which is good musing material.
Amen, brother. What a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Yeah, go ahead, sister.
I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit today. Growing up from a girl's perspective, I like the message Mark preached, but from a girl's perspective, growing up with no teaching really, like he was preaching today, just from what I heard at home, like the Bible stories we got in the mail and from mom teaching us what she knew. And I'm just so thankful for the Holy Spirit that just kept drawing me as a young girl. And I gave my heart to the Lord through his drawing and situations in life, and that just he kept just drawing me back and drawing me back till I totally fell at his feet and at the cross, and then he became my Savior and my God, and he led me through life up till now and has taught me what is right and wrong. And I just want to just emphasize, maybe we should pray. Like, we should all just together pray for our young people and our growing up, that when the Lord calls them, that it would be radical. That when He draws them to Himself, that they would have a radical salvation and a love for the Lord. So you can't really force somebody to be a Christian, without the Holy Spirit. So I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit drew me in.
Yeah, thank you, sister, for that word, because I think it's very true. We can create a perfect environment for our young people, but they still have to make their own choices. And the Holy Spirit has to work and to draw. I think we need to acknowledge that. Go ahead. And pray to that end as well. Because I think a mother's prayers for her children, I think God listens to those prayers. I know He does.
I'm very thankful for the messages today. It was very inspiring. And I feel just like Clara, with the little that we got in the colony with our upbringing. I must say, we went to church like yawning and just no appetite for it. And I feel that we need to be there for our young children, the young people, come with enthusiasm and with vigor and just join in and be there for our young people and not to yawn and, not again. Just come with an open heart, a grateful heart, and wide-eyed and just with enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very grateful and thankful that the Lord led us to the church in our older years. I guess it's never too late. And I'm very grateful that we're here, that we can join in, and if we can be a help to the young people, I'm in. James is too, and we want to be there for our young people and walk alongside of them. We didn't have that, and I see so much potential in this church and in our young people. And I'm very grateful, very thankful too for the Holy Spirit that led us that direction. And thanks again for the wonderful message. And also what Victor shared, he whet my appetite so much. I kind of want to say I am jealous. And I am hoping that our sister's retreat will not be canceled totally. I'll patiently wait for the day to arrive. God bless you.
And thank you for sharing there, sister. Yes. Sometimes we have to wait for good things. I think we're all waiting for eternity. We don't know how long we have to live here till we get to enjoy the good things of eternity. Okay, anyone else? It's been a blessing here this morning. Many good words have been shared. I believe the Spirit has been leading in what was shared here this morning.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.